Hello there.
We would be honored if you would join us.
Spark of Rebellion.
Hello there and welcome to Spark of Rebellion. This is your weekly Star Wars podcast and welcome to episode 217. My name's Gary. I am one of your hosts here at Spark. Might just call it Spark for shortsies, abbreviate it. You know, we all know what it is by now. It's just Spark, isn't it? And welcome to another episode. Hope you are keeping well and safe. We've got some cool, albeit small stories to get through this episode. A lot of little ones, no drama happening, no big announcements, anything like that. But there has been some bits rumbling along in the world of Star Wars. Before we crack on with all of that, and I bring on my co-host, who's waiting eagerly in the wings, as they say. If you like SOR or Spark, and you're feeling generous and you want to dish us a few quid, we'd love for you to be able to do that, which you can do over at /support. The rest of the URL is sparkrebellion.com. Stick the /support on there, and you can join our other supporters and whatnot. And we thank you very much to those guys for your continued support. The money goes back into the podcast, and also we buy the odd pint here and there. So thank you very much for your continued support for that. So sparkrebellion.com/support. My name's Gary, as I said. I couldn't do it without my co-host. It's Mr. Mark. How you doing, dude?
Are you drunk?
This is water. It's not vodka.
Are you sure? Water. I can tell you're doing that thing that I do, which is like, I'm going to keep just saying stuff. Just going to keep saying stuff.
What are we in now? A minute and a half. Oh, I suppose I have waffled. Yeah.
Just going around it. I get it. I'm a bit like that on a morning. You know, it's what makes us perfect podcasters, you know?
Indeed.
Whoever said that two dudes sitting around talking shit wasn't a good idea?
Yeah.
Well, you're right.
Yeah. Two trains of thought on that. The first one is a couple of supporters from the show. I think Kev was the last one to say it. A good friend, Kev, was saying that he enjoys the waffle. You know, he enjoys the vibe of just sat down, potentially down the pub, just two dudes waffling about Star Wars. So, you know, he's put a bit of waffle in there. And the other thing is that if we just came on and said, this is episode whatever, my name's Gary, here's Mark, here's the news, it's no fun. You might as well just go to starwars.com for that.
Well,
people come
for the banter, and they're for the banter, and they leave because of the banter. Yeah?
I was about to say they leave with the banter, but no, you're potentially right.
Exactly.
They leave because of the banter.
Well, I just want to thank Kev as well for, he was like probably the only listener to the show that really enjoyed our Borgullet chat. I was watching a film, right? Well, actually, so I was looking for a film last night and Sam was out, right? The boss was in bed, little one was in bed, and I was like, I'm going to watch a film, but it's got to be like 1 hour, 45 minutes because it's 8 o'clock. Like, fuck that. So I was looking through Netflix, trying to find one, right? Ended up with this, The Guest. I don't know if you've seen it anyway. Regardless, decent little 80s sort of homage. And skimming through, I was like, right, oh, this, not The Guest, but here's another film. It's fucking, man, I'm going to try it. 1 hour, 45 minutes. Sounds brilliant. Great. On Netflix, directed by Forrest Whitaker. I'm like, no, next. Because,
really?
He's ruined my perception now of him. Because every time if I see his name, I just see like this halo looking mofo, shaggy hair everywhere, just going, action, stop, action. Mm. And I'm like, that's not how he talks. But so Borgullet's ruined the whole of Forrest Whitaker for me. Really not happy with that.
Wow. So you've literally won't watch it now because of the...
No. Because of Borgullet. Right. Because it makes no sense.
Wow.
What is a Borgullet?
What is a Borgullet?
Jeez.
Who knows?
Anyway, that's the real Rogue One. That's the real question.
That's not been answered.
Rogue Two. That's what we need the prequel for, actually. Hello. You know when everyone's like, oh, we need a Rogue One prequel. And everyone's like, well, that sort of is the prequel. Wrong, it's the origin of the Borgullet. And you know...
Do we need a Rogue One prequel?
Like, there'd be a big, big thing, like a bit of a flashback, Act 3 flashback, you know, origins of the Borgullet, first meeting Saw Gerrera and all that. And right up to the point, right up to the point of him meeting the Borgullet, Saw Gerrera just talks properly. He's like, yeah, fought in the Clone Wars, sister died, all that. And been a bit of a rough one, but now working with the Rebellion a little bit, you know, freelance mainly. Got a few of my own ideas, so trying to start my own gig up. But basically looking for someone that can sort of read minds and be a little bit scary. Do you know anyone that's up for it? And he's like, well, yeah, I'd be up for that. What's your name? Borgullet. Borgullet! You're recruited! You are, and that's it. That is just the moment his voice changed. For no reason.
Yeah. Maybe there was more to it than that. Maybe they got together and a thing. Yeah. That's why he talks like that.
Maybe, as well, his name. Maybe it's a really, like, the relationship went really bad, actually. And his real name is Interesting Gullet. But just to be really passive-aggressive... He's like, you're a bore, Gullet. He's like, fuck off. Yeah. Saw.
It writes itself, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, really? Of course it does. I don't know how we're not getting calls from Kath here.
Yeah, maybe they had a bit of a domestic. Yeah, he got a jab to the throat. And that was it. Yeah.
I don't want to live in a cave.
As you do.
You're a bore, Gullet.
You're absolutely right. How we've not been called yet is beyond me.
Anyway.
Because I know Kath listens. She's probably like, get the notepad out. These lads are back.
Get it out. Get it out. Come on. Dave, couple of ideas. Give these lads a ring. You know the Mandalorian movie? Yeah? Scrapped. Because that's what we do. Borgullet. The origins of voice. Yeah. And instead of like the Darth Vader, like, you know, sometimes you get on the trail, it's like you get the... You're like, fuck, that was Darth Vader at the end. Instead, you just go, boo. Cheers, Forrest.
Cheers, man.
God.
But the thing is, we get blamed for stuff now, don't we? So if Kath takes the ideas, actually, yeah, Kath, keeping them to yourself. Because, you know, what will happen is we'll announce it. A bit like Benioff and Weiss. It'll be like, Gaz and Mark have written this thing. And then we'll just get flooded with the usual dudes. So, I suppose you're going to get a woman to direct it. I suppose you're going to get
the Borgullet, it was a male. No, look over. At this. Gender washing.
Yeah. Borgullet was gender fluid.
Yeah.
Whatever, you know. We'll get it.
Mate,
in
there. Honestly, that's exactly what would happen. And it would be like, you'd just get the whole, the Borgullet's a Mary Sue. Look at that. he came on, right, at the beginning of the film. He couldn't do anything. He couldn't do anything. And now at the end of the film, he's making his own fucking cups of tea. No way. No. Get out.
And the antagonist is a white dude. So that's not going to work for a start.
Sick of this.
I'm sick of it, mate. So, Kath, yeah, you carry on, mate. If you want to take the flak for this.
You can't please everyone.
You literally
can't. We
would
be close with that, though.
Yeah. I think we would be.
I'm just going to go register borgullethemovie.com. Film, the next fan film. You know, Star Wars Theory could do it because he'd do the voice.
He would do the voice, wouldn't he?
I need you to recruit a Borgullet.
What is a Borgullet?
Watch Rogue One. It's the mind thing.
We'll rent out a cinema. It's all good. We'll get Matt Ferguson to do the poster. Yeah,
probably do it for free because he wants to be involved in such a high tier project. Sign that.
Oh yeah, he could turn up, couldn't he? Because he does that now. Sign in at cinema.
One in Sheffield, actually. So I've got. Did you get Phantom Menace tickets? I forget. I said last week. Did you not get one?
I told you.
Probably not letting you out. I understand. I have them, but I'm going to the Barnsley cinema because it's now got an IMAX, which is mint. Used to go at the Sheffield one. But you can't get parked because there's a Nando's. And Matt Ferguson's going to be there because he's from Sheffield, but I'm still not going because he still can't get parked. But I would love to go because I love his work.
So in a nutshell, you're not going to...
Steer clear of it, man. There's too many Nando's.
You're just
you can't get parked and the spaces are tight, man.
Yeah, yeah. It's like that in my cinema. My local one's Coventry and it's on a kind of retail park thing. And it's bang opposite a Nando's. So the parking's horrendous. Yep. Yeah, I was going to go and see it, but I was too hasty in my criticism of Showcase Cinemas because when they first announced it, the only screen that they were selling tickets for was the broom cupboard screen.
Oh, yeah.
Got 30 seats in it. 30 seats, and it's like a, I don't know, 77-inch LCD on the wall.
I get it.
But I think they've opened it up now. I think they've got the big, whatever they call it, X Plus, like the IMAX equivalent thing. They might have it. Yeah. I might do. Star Wars, isn't it?
Star Wars.
So, yeah. Anyway, we have just proved the waffle point, ultimately. So we should talk about some news.
Digression, not aggression.
First up. Always. Let's keep the Acolyte news rolling, shall we? The last couple of weeks, we've had some quotes from some interviews from people as we head up to whenever it is, May the 6th, I think, weirdly, is the land date for that one. So Leslie Headland, who is the showrunner, was talking to Total Film magazine about the how the series is a real mystery at the minute, similar to Russian Doll, if you've ever seen that, giving the audience information ep by ep, and this spiral of storytelling, basically just a build-up to the finale, I think is what they're saying, without launching into any spoilers, whatnot. So she says, and I quote, "This is a much larger landscape than Russian Doll, but it similarly tackles the idea of your eyes can deceive you. You're going to think the show is one thing, but then it's going to gear shift into something else and then do that again. It's a show packed with everything I want to explore. I wanted the expanded universe stuff in there, references to the OT, the Phantom Menace, the Disney sequels. It's absolutely packed because you never know. You may not get the chance to do this again." So basically, dude, two things to take away from this one. First of all, it's going to have twists in it, is what she's saying. And the other thing is that they're going to reference all of Star Wars, basically. You know, like with Andor or stuff like that, that was fairly contained. You got the odd little nod and the reference to some things here and there, but it was fairly contained, whereas this one sounds like it's going to reference everything. It's going to nod to all that stuff. So still sounds intriguing, dude. And we kind of knew it was all mysterious anyway, so sounds good though, right?
Yeah, man. And I like what she says about her and Chris Teague referencing like the camera moves that Lucas made in the OT as well. I think, you know, when we think about references, we often think about Easter eggs and stuff, but I like that she's gone there with it so that it will hopefully feel pretty Star Wars. And not just the OT, but the prequels as well. So, I am actually really interested in this. And I think from the perspective of that camera work and honouring the way that Star Wars is shot, you know, everything from the screen wipes, the transition wipes, to the way that some of the ships enter the frame. And, you know, there are a lot of very pivotal Star Wars things when it comes to the cinematography. So I really like that aspect of it. The other thing that I really like is, even outside of Easter eggs, like, just let's assume that Easter eggs just aren't a thing. There'll be absolutely shed tons of them, but let's just assume that they're not. I like that we're now in a space where the sequels and the prequels can be connected through storytelling in terms of like events happening. We first really saw that. Obviously, we saw it in The Clone Wars to a degree and Rebels. But on the big screen, we first really saw that when Luke was in The Last Jedi and he said, look, the Jedi were a little bit, you know, they were a little bit slacking. And Darth Sidious managed to take advantage of that. And it was the first time like Sidious had been mentioned by an OT character in that regard. And it was just a nice thing to do. But now they've got so much space to do all that. So I'm really fascinated by this series and the fact that it's got Leslie Headland. We know that, you know, Russian Doll's really well put together. The layers, I love this idea of rewatchability and the, oh crap, that's the thing actually. He was there in the background all this time. We just didn't notice, like the Jake Gyllenhaal Mysterio in Spider-Man in the background at the airport, you know, all that sort of stuff where afterwards you'd be like, oh my Christ, I didn't see that. It's almost like it could be one of the things that Star Wars really needs to get out of the, I don't want to say the Skywalker problem because it's not a problem. We all love it to a degree, apart from Rise of Skywalker, but to get out of this idea of just, okay, Skywalker plus like clear demarcation of good or bad and a very, I don't want to say standard, but a very obvious like hero's journey. And just, I think just to add a little bit of complexity, the challenge that I think that brings is Andor did that, you know, Tony Gilroy, great writer, did an amazing job of it. Very gritty, well written, for me, good pace overall, a little bit slow where you were looking at it episodically, but if you look at it as a bigger picture, the pacing was right for the story, in my view. Obviously, the Star Wars fans hate it. So I do think that's always now the challenge, but I think, dude, this is sounding... It's sounding really well thought out, isn't it? Which I think is a really good sign.
Hmm. Yeah, no, I agree. And I think it's got a lot going for it because the trailer looks mint. That's all good. We're obviously intrigued by this whole more darker side of Star Wars with the Sith and all that. So that's good as well. And then when you hear things like this where it's all layered up and there's going to be twists and whatnot. And also that is a quite an interesting little thing about going back and seeing how George Lucas had framed and filmed some of that stuff. We haven't got the full interview, but it does say that the original trilogy became our touch point for something. I imagine that's for like, you know, cinematography or lightsabers, whatever. But it does sound very cool. And I imagine we'll get a few more interviews that trickle out over the next few weeks as we ramp up throughout May. I don't know if we'll get another trailer or not. Maybe another teaser, perhaps. But yeah, so far, The Acolyte's looking good. Looking forward to that one. Let's talk about some toys. Hot toys are on a roll, dude.
Aren't they?
Hot toys are bringing the bacon. Aren't they just? At the minute. Indeedy. So over the last couple of months or few months, we've spoken about some banging figures that they've released, namely... Ahsoka was a really good one. The recent Anakin from the Ahsoka series in his Clone Wars thing with the very realistic and lifelike expression and whatnot, they're all good. Now Hot Toys have gone on a bit of a tour, so they've started something called their Power of the Dark Side tour, which they're just announcing over the next, I think it's 3 weeks, some dark side figures, and they've expanded, pun intended, into the expanded universe stuff, not just the headliners that you would expect from Hot Toys, which they normally do. They normally do the big ones, Luke, Vader, you know, all those people. But we got some expanded universe figures, which is really interesting. So to round, there's quite a few, so I'm just going to rattle through these. The first one is the big one, I think, which most people are going to talk about, is Darth Revan. That's the biggie, I think, that people will probably get out of all of these ones. And it looks badass, dude. It's one of those things where I think a few people have said it's interesting with Hot Toys because whenever you get a figure that's got a helmet, they often prefer to have the alternative just head sculpt as well, like they did with Vader a few times and that sort of thing. I think they did with Boba Fett after the series as well, I think. But the thing is, I don't think anyone's ever seen... Revan's face, though. That's the only problem with that. So there's no reference really to go on with that stuff. But the mask, the helmet for Revan looks badass anyway. So it's a really cool figure. Lightsabers look good, all on point, and the costume and everything as you would expect. So that's the first one. I think that's going to be the most popular one. The other one, which will be up there as well, I think, is the Starkiller figure from the Force Unleashed video game. That looks really cool. Anyone that's played that game will know that when you get partway through the story, you can split off either to be the good side or the bad side. This is the bad side stuff, obviously. This is the dark side tour from Hot Toys. So they've chosen the, when he goes dark side and he puts the cool helmet on, it's almost got shades of, I'm pretty sure JJ and those dudes took inspiration for the Knights of Ren for this stuff, because it's got that kind of look and feel to it. But it's him in the steel iron looking helmet. And the garbs and all that with the red lightsabers. And that comes with accessories as well, like different hands to hold, you know, different, you can pose it differently in different lightsaber styles, all that stuff. And then the other set from the EU stuff that they've talked about is, this is an interesting one. So this is from the Dr. Aphra comics. And these are the two droids that feature quite heavily in that. That's the little BT-01 droid, which is essentially your average droid that you would see, like the R2 style or the R4 style, but it's just looked, you know, pretty badass. It's in the black and red, and it's got some weaponry and stuff like that. And then the other figure is the protocol droid, looks like C-3PO, but the baddie version, basically. He's got the red eyes and the syringes for the fingers and all that stuff. It looks very menacing, very cool. And then just quickly, something that they sneakily announced but wasn't part of the Dark Side tour was we're getting another version of the classic original trilogy Stormtrooper, which comes on the little Imperial Star Cruiser Death Star background stand thing, which looks very cool. Can never have too many Stormtroopers. So some really cool stuff there, dude, from Hot Toys. We always say this every time. Are you getting any? Yay or nay?
It's a tough one, this one. Not fussed about the droids. Even when I saw them in Doctor Aphra, when I read it, I thought, that's shit. Like, it's just not original, is it? Let's just have the same combo as R2 and C-3PO and just be like, oh, they're baddies. Like, fucking, you may as well put a goatee on it and stick them in like a bad version of Kit. Crap. So I wasn't a fan of that.
With a British accent.
Yeah, it was just, it was like, ugh. Blech. Just didn't like, I thought it was weak. But anyway, so no, not getting them. They've stuck the Anakin one on the bottom of the Hot Toys site, haven't they? Trying to get me to buy that one. So I'm just going to say I'm going to probably get that one at some point. But to these new ones, Starkiller I really like, but I if I was going to buy one, it would be Reavan. Or the Stormtrooper, as daft as it sounds. I really like the quality of the Stormtrooper. Probably not Starkiller. And I like the Commander Cody, the Chrome Hot Toys side, so exclusive Commander Cody that they've done. The only trouble that I've got with that one is if I was going to get Cody, I'd want like the beat up Clone Wars. Mm-hmm. You know, I want the guy that you see. I don't necessarily want the Chrome one. Plus, I don't want people walking into my house going, that's Captain Phasma, isn't it? Is it? Like, no, is it? Oh, get out. What? Get out. You know?
That is a danger.
So probably Reavan for me, mate, but my money's on Anakin to start with. I'm going to save a bit over the next few months and try and grab Anakin, I think, along with the Clone Wars Obi-Wan at some point, once my other Obi-Wan comes. So yeah, if any, just Reavan, mate. What about you?
Yeah, similar to me, dude. For me, it would be Reavan more than anything, just because how very cool it looks. I've always liked Reavan. It's one of those sort of anomalies, if you like. Those that grew up with Star Wars, you always looked at things like Reavan and the other Sith that they pushed heavily in the books back in the day. You always thought, oh, is he like Darth Vader? Is he not like Darth Vader? Is he, you know, a typical Sith, that sort of thing? It was always intriguing. So I think for that reason, a lot of people will pick up Reavan. And because he's an interesting Sith, I'm hoping we see something to do with him. I hope they push him slowly into canon. Did we cover a story a while ago about somebody mentioning Reavan? And there was this thing like, is he now canon or not? I'm sure we mentioned something.
I can't remember what it was, but I think we did. And he was certainly in him and Darth Bane, I think, with the two ghosts in the Clone Wars season 6. You know, the little interlude season where it was Yoda going off to learn how to become a Force ghost. I think Bane and Reavan were there. Because I'd like to see a Hot Toys Darth Bane. Darth Bane's a really, probably one of my favourite Star Wars characters. So I would really quite like to see that. But yeah, maybe we did. But I like the Reavan, man. I think this looks really, really good.
Yeah, it looks cool. And slightly different from all the other Sith or Dark Side figures in that he's got one red and one purple lightsaber. So that's cool. The other one, if I was to get one, would be Anakin, I think. The Stormtrooper looks good. I like that little stand it comes on with the lights in the background. You know, the dark side pattern. Not dark side, but the Imperial pattern. Yeah, looks good, man. Oh, that Anakin, though. Every time I see it, I'm like,
I know. I'm going to end up getting that one.
It just looks so good.
I'm going to wait till the other Obi-Wan comes from Kenobi. Then I'm going to spend a bit of time setting them all up, you know, getting them properly posed out. And then I'll see what space I've got.
Yeah, because you don't want the new Anakin to turn up. And those two are like, well, I thought we were your favourites.
This guy.
You need to embed that trust, first
respect
of all.
Earned.
Right, it's another story. Let's keep this one going as well, shall we? Seeing as we are keeping things like The Acolyte rolling. This is the new Jedi Order film, dude. Another quote, another little interview from Daisy Ridley, this time in Total Film again. Total Film have got the Star Wars thing happening at the minute. Fair play to them, I say. And she was basically saying that she's in an older mindset now. So I think she was 22 when she was filming The Force Awakens, and she says, I honestly have had moments where I'm like, I don't know if I remember what I did as Rey. It's really strange. I think it's just basically saying it's a bit of a whirlwind, a little bit of a smack in the face being in a Star Wars film that young, and it's all go. And then she says, I think the whole thing will feel so different anyway, with a totally different team. The old team was rubbish. I'm in a different place than I was. I'm probably going to be one of the adults. And initially, I was the youngest on set, which is a weird feeling. I'd also hope that this is a lot of the same crew. Obviously, many people shifted, but many people stayed the same through all three films. And there was something wonderful and comforting about that. But I don't know. It all remains to be seen. I would hope it feels natural in some way, but also like, I don't know, it's a new adventure. So I'm hoping it's sort of a bit of both. So, dude, I think from this, it's kind of weird. I think she's saying that she wants it to feel fresh and new, obviously. But at the same time, she wants that comfort of, you know, being around the same, in the same environment of where she was before, like friendly faces and all that stuff. So nothing really new here, dude. No big story. But it is cool to see, I guess, Daisy really talking about it still in a positive way. I know we joked a little while ago saying that she's saying it because, you know, the old bunts. But it's good nonetheless.
Yeah. It's one of those, like you said, not much of a story, but just kind of keeps trundling on that something's happening, which is quite nice. And I'm interested to see what will happen with this movie, just because I think it'll just get panned for no reason, I think, which is a massive shame. So I'd like to just hope that it didn't. I'd like, you know, Rey to be a bit more accepted. She was a strong part of the sequel trilogy. Granted, whatever you thought, the storylines or whatever. I thought a lot of the criticisms around her being a Mary Sue and all that stuff, like I've said before, you know, fucking hell, there was a fanboy that took down a battle station by trusting an old space wizard ghost that he'd met like 3 days before. So that's cool, isn't it? But, you know, it just feels weird that Daisy Ridley, I don't think this Daisy Ridley necessarily got the hate that Hayden Christensen and Ahmed Best and all, and, you know, Jake Lloyd and all them got, which I'm glad for because it must be horrible. But I just want the character to sort of be embraced, like, regardless of what you think about it, we are getting this movie, so why not just be positive about it? You know what I mean? And let Daisy Ridley be positive about it, and let's keep being positive about it. And if it comes out and it's shit like Rise of Skywalker, then we'll just say so. But it's got to be actually shit. You know, let's not just complain like about it because we don't like Rey or whatever. So let's just keep it. Just keep it positive. Keep it positive.
Come on. This, you know, day of
why is no one putting Arnie in one of these films?
Film now.
Arnie. You know. Get him in.
Really? Really?
Come on. Use the force.
Come on. Do it.
The lightsaber was his enemy.
No. Don't rush me. Yeah, yeah.
I think that could work.
Don't rush me, yeah? Just do it.
I almost...
Rip out your goddamn spine.
I want him, Arnold, to be like a bit Carl Weathersy as well. He just talks in like a normal American accent now. He's been there that long. He's like, hey, everybody, it's me, Arnold. All right, go on, Arnold. Action. Come on. Use the force. Come on. Lift the damn rock. Yeah. Come on. Cut. How was that? Fucking brilliant, Arnold. Really, really solid Arnold work.
Just a thought, though. Let's bring this down just a click.
Imagine being you.
Because we...
But people could understand. Just imagine that.
We know that you're a walking meme at this point. We get it. You know, so you're trying to do your voice from 20 years ago. We get that, but we're not looking for...
I've got an idea.
You know, your mate Rocky got it.
I walk into the cantina and I say, I need your lightsaber, your boots, and your nice brown robe. Yeah. What we might do is go a different direction with that, Arnold. In fact, we're replacing you. You're going to have to leave the set. We're replacing you with this guy.
Bullet.
Here it is. You're replacing me with this guy? I'll be back.
Come on.
Come on. You can't even talk properly.
Oh, it's funny because well, it's
someone
true.
Needs to do this shit. Like, put Arnold and Stallone and all those guys in a legitimate Star Wars movie.
Yeah, there's a planet somewhere that's just full of, like, retired bodyguards from the Imperial. You know, the Imperial guards who had the red garbs on back in the 80s. Yeah. Now they're retired, like this old bodybuilding for retirement camp thing. They still want to stay in shape in case they get called up. Because they got the backstory, didn't they? They knew that Palps was coming back, so they're staying in shape. But nobody ever comes. So
they just forget. Yeah, just get forgotten about. Yo, we got to stay in shape for when the boss gets back, yo.
Yeah. He's not coming back.
He's not coming back. Never. It's up to us.
Hey, man. Yeah.
Hey.
Come on, man. Just we got it. Why you got to be so punchy all of the time? Don't be so mentally irregular.
All I got was a damn watch. Yeah. I got a watch. Yeah. This is brilliant. We got to do it. So, Kathleen, please just call, man.
She's listening.
Oh, she is.
She's got a little pucker pad and a Starbucks.
A pucker pad in one hand, a pucker pad in the other. She's like, fucking hell, this is amazing. Arnold only lives around the
this
corner.
Is great.
Give him a bell. Hello, Arnold speaking. How may I help you? Kathleen, good to hear from you. Finally, I get to be a Jedi. Well, actually, we had you in mind for a sort of retired old guard. I need a lightsaber. Otherwise, I'm not getting out of bed. Make it purple.
Make it purple, yeah. We've done that already. I don't care.
Samuel L. Who? Get out.
Give them girly guys. Can't say that now, can we? Give them neutral colours. Give them like a peach. Give one's peach, one's lavender. One's a nice periwinkle blue or something.
Kathleen, I will do the movie as long as I get a lightsaber that brings out my eyes and my beard. Now I have a beard. I have to keep the beard. That's that.
This would do, yeah. I could just talk about that for
hours.
Oh,
this is a show in itself.
Yeah.
Arnold Wars.
People are laughing. I know, listener, you're laughing. It's all good. But there is an essence of seriousness here.
What?
Because I think if you were to put Arnie in a Star Wars film, I think we'd be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
I think we would be. Because he's at that age now where he's just got that screen presence. I know he's always had it, but he's got that screen presence as in, like, you know when, like, Jeff Goldblum turns up in a Marvel film and it's just got that vibe and it's like, it's almost screen royalty. So you don't care if he's shit or not.
It's like that with Keaton.
It's just cool.
Keaton shows up, you're like, lose your shit. This is mint.
Exactly. Yeah. What was Stallone in? He was in something.
He was in Guardians, wasn't he?
Big franchise. Oh, he was in Guardians, wasn't he? That was it, yeah.
Yeah.
So we need Arnie, don't we? Because Stallone's done it. Apollo's been in Andor. Or Mandalorian, whatever. So now we just need
Van Damme.
So there is an element of...
No point putting Van Damme in one. It'd be a very short movie. Just kick everything.
Maybe Bruce Willis.
No, he's having trouble now, isn't he? He's in a mess.
Yeah, come on. We've been through this 20 times now.
Bruce.
The line is...
Come on, Bruce. Bless him. We should definitely put... Bless I'd definitely petition for Arnie being in one. He'd make like a good Darth Bane. I've been thinking, there are too many Sith. We need two, like me and my brother Julius. Did you see the movie? He's a little guy. He looks a little bit like Danny DeVito. You know Danny DeVito? Yeah, he looks just like him. But he's not him. Don't say it's him.
Dude, can you imagine that? You know, if it was Darth Bane, he's the one who was the ruler of two, dude. Was it Bane, wasn't it? Yeah, can you imagine throughout the whole film, because he's got the helmet on, or the face mask thing, his voice is all computerized,
then
whatever.
At the end.
And then the last scene takes it off its arm.
That'd actually be pretty sweet, and it just somehow gets managed to be like kept a secret for three movies. No marketing, Arnold never turns up. And he's like, we need just two of the Sith in a completed... And then he pops his helmet off at the end, he's like, I told you this would work. And that's it. You fucking hell, that's it. End credits. You're like, whoa.
Oh, man.
Some sort of post-credit scene.
So good.
But it's like an interview with Arnie. You know, I really wanted to embody this character of Darth Bane. He's my favorite because he's got the word Darth in his name. And I like Darthness. Darkness. Sounds like darkness, so I like it. I got a goat here. There's a horse. And that was in the movie called Terminator. He likes to terminate his enemies. That's it.
Who else do we need? Linda Hamilton. She's
big. And get it directed by Cameron. Now. Just fuck it. Let's just remake Terminator. Yeah.
But just cast the same people, just older.
And actually just have the exact same story, but just pretend that it's not, like, never acknowledge the fact. Just be like, no. I know he's come back from the future. I know it's Arnold Schwarzenegger. I know he's trying to kill this kid. But no. Never thought of that. Never saw that. Never saw the similarity. Actually, what about a crossover, actually?
Terminator Owen Star Wars.
I'm here for Luke Skywalker. Sorry, mate. Wrong house. Damn it, not again.
Actually, I'm going to interject with one of our stories. I was going to save it till the end. It's only a tiny thing. But another crossover.
See what you did there. Brilliant. Stopping the digression.
Yeah, good.
Brilliant.
On the ball. I think I sobered up now.
Sounds right.
So we had these little quirky little things. We normally save the little Mark Hamill tweets for the fun little bit at the end. But this is really cool. I didn't see this until you did pop this up into the Research Link Center.
The Research Link Center.
Into our Research Links section within Captivate.fm's hosting for podcasts. And this is The Empire Never Stood a Chance Against Batman and Superman. This is genius, dude. All those scenes in the first Batman film, because it's predominantly Batman, where he's flying the Batwing through Gotham after the Joker set off all the balloons and the gas and whatnot. So someone's very cleverly cut out all the Batwing scenes and stuff, plopped it in the trench star run, the Death Star trench run at the end of A New Hope. And it's basically him taking all of the TIE fighters and stuff. He's doing a trench run. Vader's after him, all that stuff. But the way it's cut together is so cool. It's got nice little bits in there, like when Vader's chasing him down the trench, the little computerized, which was an X-Wing in the film, is the little Batwing and stuff. It's just so cool. And then at the very end, Christopher Reeve, Superman, turns up and with the old laser vision, blasts one of the TIE fighters out the way and stuff. And I think one of the coolest things is the comments on this. Is a lot of people are saying, you know, what's happens after this? It ends too soon and all that. So a fun little thing, dude, but a genius, genius little thing. It just fits so well. It's so cool.
Yeah. The thing that got me with this one was like the detail in the cut. Like someone's, whether it's done via AI or whatever, I don't know, but whoever's done it has really gone into some detail with it, like to line up a lot of the angles. And like you said, to change the detail on just the tracking guidance system for the missiles and the guns, just little things, really, really good. And like you said, the fact that people are like, what happens afterwards, just shows it's a pretty good little edit. So it was just a fun little thing that I spotted. I thought that's really quite cool, especially for guys of our ilk and age, in that we, you know, like I said earlier, you put Keaton in anything, you just basically, yes, you're in for it. just an enjoyable little thing, fun little thing. The guy on YouTube that did it has done a lot of these things as well. He's done like an Endgame one, done a couple more Batman ones. So they're one of those fun little things to watch when you've got a few minutes. You know, it's you know, like the old How It Should Have Ended. Remember them?
Oh, yeah. They were cool. Those little animated things.
And Batman
things.
Was really in funny in that. Yeah. It's just one of those style things that's really fun 5 minutes, isn't it? So yeah, I really enjoy watching that just for a bit of a laugh, man.
Yeah, it's cool. There'll be a link to that in the show notes. Go and check it out. You'll probably watch it like 50 times on a loop like I did earlier this morning. It's very cool. So Batman and Superman never stood a chance. Sorry, the Empire never stood a chance against Batman and Superman. Right, a couple of quick stories to finish up with. Gamers who are fans of the old Xbox, whether you've got a Series X or an S, doesn't matter. If you've got Game Pass Ultimate, Starting tomorrow, so yesterday or a couple of days ago, if you're listening to this, you'll get Jedi Survivor. That's going to land for, I say for free, because you're paying for Xbox Ultimate. But you know what I mean? It comes as part of that package. So I think you've been waiting for this one, dude, haven't you? To land. Have you still got Xbox?
My Live time Ultimate, has come.
Stuff? Here we go.
Yeah, cancelled my Xbox Live literally 10 days ago. Legit, no
oh,
shit.
Oh, no. Are you joking?
Well, because I wasn't playing it, right? So I got, I actually spunked on a PS5 and an Xbox over the course of like a 2 year period. I picked both of them up. So I've barely touched my Xbox. What I did touch was like Resident Evil 2, right? The remake. So I was like, this is mint. I love Resident Evil. So I've been blasting through that. It was a couple of hours into it. And then it got to the point where I was like, Game Pass is up for renewal. Do the like 40 quid a year trick, whatever. 50 quid a year. And then I looked on the PlayStation store. I was like, wait a second. I've already got Spidey 2 to play, so I've not finished that. And all the Resident Evil remakes were on sale, so I got them all for like 25 quid. Every one of the remakes. I was like, this is mint. Right, so I'm just going to do that and not bother with Game Pass. And then this happens. So now I'm thinking I'll leave it a couple of weeks and then do a trial. Either do an EA Play trial on my PlayStation and play it on there, or just do the whole £1 for a month hack on Xbox and play it for a month, because I'll blast through it in a month. So yeah, that's where I am due. But I was going to ask you, actually, because you've played it. I played Jedi Fallen Order on Xbox. I was considering getting this on PlayStation through the EA Play trial. Are there any benefits? Do you get any in-game upgrades or anything for having completed Fallen Order when you start up Survivor? Like some games, it's like, oh, you can, you know, here's a bonus or an upgrade because you've finished the last game. I'm assuming there's none of that and it's just a clean break.
No, it's just a clean, completely clean. It doesn't carry anything over.
So I could
over.
Just, yep. I could just do it on PlayStation then. So I might do that. I'm going to get EA Play for a trial, smash that, cancel it.
Sounds
you going to replay
dude.
It?
I think I will at some point, yeah. Yeah, because I got this on PlayStation. It's not bad at all. It's got a very different vibe than the first one. And it encourages you to sink a load more hours into it than the first one. Just because there's so much more to do.
Right.
So it's not as linear, but it still nudges you on certain paths and stuff. But at the same time, it encourages you to go and collect bloody plants from a rooftop garden and do all that stuff. So if you're not bothered about that, it's not going to affect your enjoyment of like the main story thread. That's still pretty cool. But yeah, it's worth a play, dude. Just even if you just don't bother, if you ignore all the side, you know, gubbins and just do the main story stuff, it's still worth a play. That character's pretty cool. Cal Kestis. Pretty cool.
Yeah, I think that's what I'll do, just smash the linear mission as best I can. Then if I've got time during my EA Play trial, maybe I'll carry on. But yeah, cool, man.
Do you know what, dude? Treat it as the same way that you did the first Spider-Man game. You know, you smashed the story.
Yeah.
And then I think you left it a few months and then you just had a chill day and you just smashed all the extras.
Yeah, I got to like 100% on both just those ones, the Miles one and the Spidey one. Got to, yeah, like you said, did the story. And then the only trouble is like with the second one, with that one, and it's sort of why I stopped playing it for a little bit, because you think, actually, the upgrades help you with the story. So getting the side missions and the coins and all that shit helps with the missions. So you're like, that's how they get you, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the main thing with Jedi Survivor is that you get like hairdos, different hairstyles, different beard styles, clothing, all that stuff. So if you want to go off and do that, if you're, you know, from a cosmetic point of view, it's all good. But there isn't much that will do for your actual abilities. That's stuff that you get from other things.
Okay.
But anyway, it is cool. It's worth a playthrough. Oh, just once.
All right. Well, I'll probably do that on trial then.
Yeah. Sweet. So yeah, Jedi Survivor, the sequel to Fallen Order, that lands on the 25th on Game Pass. If you've got Game Pass Ultimate, not the standard Game Pass thing, you need the Ultimate one. Unless you're a member of EA Play, then you'll get that as well. Finish up with Star Wars bagging a few awards, dude. Do you remember the Webby Awards? Remember those? They're still going?
Yeah, they've been going a long time.
Long old time. Yeah. So this is, so the Webby Awards, apparently, according to the New York Times, are the internet's highest honor, apparently. Mm. And every year we get, there are two awards per category, and they're chosen by the International Academy of Digital Arts and Sciences, and are chosen by fans labeled the People's Voice.
Not choice. Apparently.
Voice. Yep. So 13,000 entries from over 70 countries and over 2.2 million votes have been cast by over 550,000 people in this year's awards. And Star Wars has bagged two mainline awards, and then they've got an honorary in another category. So they picked up, the first one's weird, so official Star Wars recipes won the Webby Award for the social food and drink category. And then they also picked up for the video events and live streams category. That was for their coverage of Star Wars Celebration Europe last year. So they did pretty well with the two main ones. I mean, food and drink category, I don't know. I know there are a few Star Wars recipe books. I've seen them in, like, I don't know, Forbidden Planet or something, and I thought, what's all that? And but it's literally just you make, you know, Yoda-shaped cookies and Wookiee pancakes and all that jazz for the kids, isn't it? But the event stuff is pretty cool. And the other one was they were named as an honoree in the social television and film category for Star Wars Ahsoka. The Snap Lens was named as an honoree in the best use of filters and lenses category. So a bit of a techie one, that, for Ahsoka. But yeah, bagged a few awards, dude. Pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's a funny one, the old recipe one, isn't it? That's a laugh. I mean, I don't know what to say about that.
Wookiee cookies.
Yeah. The Wookiee cookies. I mean, I don't really know what to say about this one. It's just all right, isn't it? It's just good. Like, fair play.
Just be happy.
I do like that the Star Wars Celebration stuff's been acknowledged, because I think that was a serious production. We were there, and it was just over a year ago, and it was a cracking celebration. You just sort of, like, I never really see the streaming element of it, because I just don't. It's not like something that I'd generally watch. Like, I'd watch it after the fact, you know, when it's like, oh, here's some news, watch the highlights. So quite nice to see that one. But yeah, just good to see Star Wars keeping up. Just nice, totally. Isn't it? I guess. Yeah. Terrible just commentary good. On that story. Yeah.
Kath's probably got these on the bookshelf behind her.
Yeah, gosh, yes. Thought.
She's like, well, I'm taking them.
And every time she's on Zoom,
yes.
She's like, oh, I'll probably put that in a bin. Stick it
out. Oh, I left them out.
Oh. What's that?
What's that? Yeah. I didn't ask what they were. Well, okay. We'll circle back to that later.
If you want.
Anyway, these two lads. Yeah. Right. That was the Webby Awards. And that is going to conclude. Let's wrap it there. Let's end the waffle for episode 217. Thank you, dude, and thank you to Spark of Rebellion listener for joining us for another week and another roundup of all the Star Wars news. It's been cool to chat through all the Star Wars-y stuff, and yeah, whether you're going to make the Wookiee cookies, or whether you're going to pick up the Darth Revan hot toys, whatever, you can let us know and chat with us about Star Wars over on the socials. We're on Twitter and Instagram. Just head over to sparkofrebellion.com/Twitter or /Instagram and chat Star Wars. We post little bits around Star Wars throughout the week as well, so get involved over there. And once again, if you are feeling generous and you want to throw us a few quid, we'd love that. You can do that over at sparkofrebellion.com/support. And thank you so much to our current supporters and members. We love you guys. Thank you very much. Dude, it's been another cool week and another cool episode.
Always good having a laugh. And thank you to everyone that tunes in. We're coming up on 5 years, which is insane, over the next couple of weeks. Oh, that's wild. So thanks to everyone that stuck with us throughout that. And always good to chat Star Wars, dude. It's always one of the highlights of the week. So yeah, see you next week, everyone.
Indeedy. So on that note, make sure you take care of yourself, and may the Force be with you always.